this recurring dream. I'm sitting at this big banquet table, and all the victims of all the murders I ever worked are sitting at this table, and they're staring at me with these black eyeballs because they got eight-ball hemorrhages from the head wounds. And there they are, all of them just sitting there. They look at me, and that's it. That's the dream. You know, we're sitting here, you and I are like a couple of regular fellas. I mean, you do what you do, I do what I gotta do. And now that we've been face to face, if I'm there and I gotta put you away, I won't like it. But I'll tell you, if it's between you and some poor bastard whose wife you're gonna turn into a widow, brother, you are going down.
There's a flip side to that coin. What if you do got me boxed in? And I gotta put you down. Because no matter what, you will not get my way. We've been face to face, yeah. But I will not hesitate. Not for a second.
Maybe that's the way it'll be. Or...
well, maybe we'll never see each other again.
Yeah, maybe they'll never see each other again. Well, they saw each other again, that's for sure. not to De Niro's favor. But I'll tell you, that is one of the greatest movies ever made. Heat. I could watch that whenever it comes on TV, even though I got the unedited version and everything. It's weird. You just watch it on TV for some reason. But whenever it comes on, I watch it. When I was getting my root canal done, the dentist I went to, first time I ever went to him, this Romanian guy, and he was the biggest movie buff, and he, at one point, he's like, oh, yes, that is the greatest movie ever made, ever. You know, Pacino's best, greatest movie ever. I was like, well, you know, I mean... he's got a good argument. That movie had it all, you know, and the 2.5 hours sure as hell didn't seem like that, because it's such a great story. You know, I just love, for some reason, you know, I get really annoyed with, like, petty thieves and the smash-and-grab shoplifters and you know, be like that, but these professional motherfuckers that put, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours of thought into these high-end heists where, you know, usually nobody gets hurt. You know, they go in on the prowl and stuff like that. For some reason, I don't want to say I admire them, but there's a certain level of intelligence there that you have to respect. You know, so I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that's gonna be our first story here. Let me turn down perfect timing. Let me turn down Fleetwood Mac there. In Los Angeles, there was a heist similar to what it sounded like in the movie.
This morning, burglars have gotten away with tens of millions of dollars in what's being called one of Los Angeles's largest cash heists in history. Sources say the LAPD and FBI are investigating the Easter Sunday theft at a money storage facility.
Easter Sunday, see? Smart. Money storage facility.
In the neighborhood of Sylmar in the San Fernando Valley, the brazen burglars were able to breach the building by entering through the roof to gain access to the vault without setting off alarms. The company that owns the building not realizing the crime until Monday morning.
Until Monday. See? I mean, well, probably they wouldn't have realized it until Monday morning anyway, but I don't know. I guess everybody's got their guard down on Easter Sunday.
The facility handles and stores cash from businesses across the region. It's not the first time in recent memory California has seen a brazen heist. In 2022, yeah. $100 million in jewels were stolen from this Brinks tractor trailer at a remote rest stop north of L.A.
Yeah, I remember doing that story, and I said the same thing. It's weird. I don't know why, but I'm fascinated by these high-end burglary crews.
And what could be the largest jewelry heist in U.S. history.
This isn't lifestyles of the rich and famous. These are mom-and-pop jewelers. I have a client, 66 years old. He lost everything in this theft.
But in terms of cold,
well, that sucks.
Hard cash, this heist on Sunday appears more similar to a 1997 heist at the Dunbar Armored Facility in Los Angeles. $18 million was stolen in a robbery. Adjusted for inflation, it would top $35 million today.
I tell you, they don't fuck around in Los Angeles, man. When they go to rob somebody, they get millions, huh?
Give me all you got! Listen, give me all you got!
Yeah.
So far, no suspects in the Easter Sunday heist. Authorities say the sophistication of the operation indicates a burglary crew of some kind
really
is responsible.
You don't think that it was what did De Niro say? A guy holding up liquor stores usually with a Born to Lose tattoo on his chest. No, yeah, of course it was a fucking crew. So, yeah, fascinating. How you know as much work as these fuckers put into this shit? You know, I don't know. You would think, hey, you're smart enough, you're capable enough to just get a regular job. But these guys don't, they don't do that. They don't like sitting behind desks, and they don't like, I don't know, they don't like doing things that can, there are some people out there that are just wired to break the rules. You know, it was like a Johnny Depp's character in Blow, George Young, when his father said, yeah, George, you haven't changed that much since you were a kid. You know, somebody, whatever they tell you to do, you do it if they told you not to, something to that effect. And that's the way some people are wired. That's got to be the case with these motherfuckers like this. My God. Because they risk so much. And that's another thing De Niro said in the and Val Kilmer said to him. It's worth the stretch. It's worth the risk. I'm like, how could it be worth 20-something years in prison, man? I mean, I know, okay, yeah, you're going to be set up for a while. But you talk about a flip side to the coin. There's no way I would risk my neck like that. No way. And the funniest part is that when they were showing pictures of this place, they showed they had this part of near the ground, part of the wall boarded up, you know, and it looked like it had been broken through. But he said they went through the roof. I don't know. Maybe they came out that way. I don't know why you would come out that way. There you go, out the way you came in, unless it's logistically unfeasible. But I don't know. They said they don't know if it's related. But yeah, no suspects, nothing. Holy shit, man. It's Macaulay and his fucking crew. Oh, boy. As you can probably tell by my voice, I'm a little stuffed up. I think I caught a cold from somebody. Must have been somebody in the pool room because I haven't been anywhere else or been around anybody else. And I'll tell you what, folks. Hey, the kid finally ran the table in the fucking pool room last week. Yes, sir. I didn't even realize it. When I was done, I thought I'd only hit 6 balls in the 8 ball in. And my partner, Delmer, goes, no, man, I broke. I didn't sing anything. And then our opponent shot, didn't sing anything. And then I fucking took over. And, you know, I tell you, when a good song is playing, a song that I like that I can really groove to, I play better pool. It's really strange. You know, so I go to shoot, and the Cars came on, Moving in Stereo. You know, and I was like, boom, boom. Smacko, smacko. I was just fucking fast and loose like Eddie Felsen, and I put them all away. But yeah, I don't know. It's like I'm all stuffy, and I don't know. Tomorrow's probably going to be hell if it's a full on cold because the shit just started last night in my sleep. I couldn't breathe. Oh, I hate that when you can't breathe out of one nostril, so you turn on your side, and then that one gets clogged up, and you're sick of it, so you turn on your other side, then you're like, ah, that one's clear. Then the other one fucking clogs up. I can't stand it, especially when you got a cold. There was a point where I couldn't breathe through either of them. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So tomorrow's going to be hell with the editing, but anyway, hopefully I won't get so sick. But anyway, so we're talking about high-end burglary and intelligence. And then we go to the opposite end of the spectrum, to what happened in Chicago the other day. Some guy was wanted for something, for weapons charges. They were surveilling him for a while. And when they were tailing him, you know, he didn't have a seatbelt on. So they're like, oh, perfect in right here. We'll pull him over for no seatbelt. And they pulled him over for no seatbelt. But almost immediately, the guy's car was surrounded by about 4 or 5, I don't want to say undercover because they had the vests and everything on, but they came out of nowhere, you know, the stealth surveillance. And this is what happened.
Tonight, an independent investigation underway after this traffic stop turned deadly. Chicago police body camera video capturing the incident that ended with officers firing a barrage of bullets, killing 26-year-old Dexter Reed. Police say Reed fired first.
Okay, so there you go. Fired first on cops surrounding you in Chicago.
Are you crazy? What'd you do that for?
Yeah, well, obviously he didn't want to go to jail, but everybody is outraged over this. The family is outraged. Everyone's out. I'm like, well, why the fuck would you be? He shot at the cops. First, you shoot at the cops, and that's it, especially if they got you surrounded, especially in Chicago. You have signed your death warrant, okay? I would almost say that it goes along as suicide by cop. How do you think you're going to get away from that? So he shoots at cops, and there was, again, there was five or six of them around, and they all fucking emptied their guns into him. So, yeah, it was 96 shots. I mean, hey, when someone shoots at the cops, the goal is now to put him down, to kill him. I mean, yeah, that is the goal. If you got balls enough and you're dangerous enough to shoot at a bunch of them, much less one, okay, yeah, they're going to make sure you don't get up again, all right? So it doesn't matter if it's 96, 86, 76, 66. It doesn't fucking matter, all right? You shoot at the cops, and you're going down, and you deserve it.
Roll the windows down.
The ordeal unfolding just after 6 p.m. March 21st. Reed in the driver's seat of his white SUV, surrounded by five plainclothes tactical officers, guns drawn, who initially pulled him over for not wearing a seatbelt, and can be heard...
See, and in the past, you would say, oh, driver, cops shoot black man 96 times for not wearing a seatbelt. No, see, they can't get away with that anymore. See... It's funny with these body cams, you know. All of the criminals and all the people in the ghettos and stuff wanted body cams so they could show just how much they were being brutalized and terrorized and murdered for nothing. And it's done the opposite. What it has shown is that the cops are usually put into these positions for no fucking reason. A lot of these people, okay, maybe they have a warrant. But a lot of times these are misdemeanors. These are small charges that you and I would just hand over our license and go, okay. But no, not these motherfuckers. They're going to do everything they can to disrupt, to delay, to annoy, to provoke, and just to be the biggest pain in the ass there is because they're looking for a lawsuit. They want cops to beat on them. Okay, because that's how motherfuckers get paid, you see? But these body cams have shown me anyway. That's what I'm gathering out of them is, boy, all these things. If this was me, I would have got a ticket. I would have left. If this was me, I would have got a warning. I would have left. If this was me, you know, none of these things would happen to me. None of them. And I don't know. I mean... These cops don't appear to be racist or even hostile or aggressive. They keep asking these fuckers, get out of the car. Let me see your license. Get out of the car. Let me see your license. Get out of the car. Let me see your license. Nope, they just ignore them. They roll up the window. They get on the phone and have 20-minute conversations. They want their lawyer, their grandmama, their auntie, and everybody at the scene. You know, and that's what they do. They call their peeps to the scene now, which is dangerous, and they should be charged for that, too. And anyone who shows up and interferes with an investigation like this should be charged as well. But, these body cameras have shown, like I said, that they are not the victims that they portray themselves to be. They cause this shit 9 times out of 10. And in this one especially, you shoot at the cops and that's it. It's over.
Yelling commands at Reed.
Unlock the doors now!
In the video, Reed appears to ignore those commands.
Uh-huh.
Open the door now!
I'm on my phone.
That's when Reed, investigators say, fired at officers as striking.
What do you mean, investigators say? You saw it on the video. He pulled out his fucking pistol and he shot at the chick. She was standing right outside his fucking driver's side door. Unlock the door. That's all she's saying. Unlock the door.
Officer, according to authorities, in the wrist.
Yeah. See, she got shot. She got shot in the wrist, luckily. That could have another couple inches over, depending on where her wrist was. It could have hit a vital organ anywhere.
The officers scatter and immediately return fire. Officers unloading 96 rounds in 41 seconds. During the gunfire, Reed exits the vehicle and falls to the ground and appears to be shot multiple times.
He should have exited the vehicle in the first place without his gun, and then that would have been it. He would have went to jail for whatever. I don't know. You don't want to go to jail that bad? Okay. When you get 96 fucking shots pumped into you, what do you want me to do?
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson today.
Shooting a police officer can never be condoned. And we also have to be very clear that we hold our police to the highest of standards.
Okay, well, what is that supposed to mean? They didn't do anything wrong here. I don't think, anyway. I mean, like I said, the goal is to put him down, so who cares how many fucking shots there were? He shot at the cops, you kill him, and that's all there is to it. Doesn't matter how many bullets.
Reed, at the time of the incident, was facing charges for allegedly carrying a gun into a street festival. His mother, heartbroken.
Model citizen. Oh, yeah, listen to his mother. You know, usually the mothers talk about how great they were to everybody in their community, and they wanted to be doctors and lawyers. Yeah, people like that, they don't go around carrying guns through festivals and shooting at police and all that shit. But listen to her.
They killed him. They killed him. Thank you.
Yeah. Are you kidding?
Don't waste my motherfucking time!
Yeah, because they wouldn't have killed him if he wouldn't have shot at them, you fucking idiot. I feel bad that her son is dead, okay, but they killed him. Of course they killed him. He made them kill him. That's another thing. Everybody wants to hold the police accountable for every little thing, but all these people just seem to dismiss everything that their relatives or whoever does at the scene. What caused this? He did. Okay. Yeah, you know, I mean, these people, they break the law, and they put people's lives in danger all over the place, and then as soon as the cops pulled them over, you know, they want total proper behavior, and, you know, and whatever they did, it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know. I don't get the fucking mindset, but the only person responsible for him being dead is him.
Authorities say a gun was recovered from the front seat of Reed's vehicle. Those officers are now on administrative leave as that independent investigation is conducted.
Okay, well, I find no wrongdoing here whatsoever, you know? And I'll tell you, if they would just comply, this shit wouldn't happen. Again, 9 times out of 10, it wouldn't happen, all right? Would you rather be dead or get roughed up or whatever than you're not going to get away. I mean, you know, you're not going to get away, especially when they got you cuffed and everything, and then the struggle begins to get them in the car, and they stick their feet in the ankles in the door jam, or they're going to bash their heads against the fucking glass or whatever. I mean, just total, like I said, provocation in hopes of a payday. It's bullshit. All right, and then we jump over to Rikers Island and the opposite again of what now these officers need to be held accountable big time. So first of all, Rikers Island is just, it's pure hell. I mean, that place, I mean, I've seen documentary after documentary on just the filth and the treatment and the lack of humanity that goes on in that place. But they have really, really topped themselves with this one.
What happened to Rikers Island prisoner Nicholas Feliciano is the kind of thing you don't see on TV.
And you know what? This is a case where I don't care what this fucker did. He is in jail now. And now you are responsible, you know, while he's in your custody, for his health and well-being, as sickening as it may be, because these people, most of them are fucking animals, all right? But you can't take that into consideration when you're in the jail. I know it's hard because you're a human being and everything like that. You know, I don't give a shit about this piece of shit, but then you shouldn't have that job because you do have to keep them safe and healthy as possible while they're in your custody.
You are watching Rikers Island jail staff responding to a fight back in 2019. You'll notice this prisoner, shirt off, in white pants, yelling because his friend was just jumped. This is Nicholas Feliciano.
Yeah, and you guys, everybody, I mean, because this is going off the video, you need to watch this video. You're not going to fucking believe it. You talk about George Floyd and the 9 minutes with the knee on the neck. Where do you hear this?
A man who's about to try and take his own life. After that fight, Nicholas Feliciano was distraught. The incident report says he had a lengthy and significant history of suicidal behavior while in city custody.
It is okay, there's red flag number one.
At this point, the anguished prisoner tries to hang himself in a cell, which, according to that incident report, was directly facing the officer's station, sitting just 9 feet away, with an unobstructed view.
Okay.
That he was hanging off a hook, and you got these officers just walking by and standing there, and like, if it's okay, oh yeah, leave him there hanging. Who in their right state of mind does that?
Yeah, she's right. That's his grandmother, and She's right, because as it turns out, it sounds like about nine cops just walked by this cell, including the one at the desk. They just kept walking by. He was hanging. I mean, he was hanging there. He was in the act of committing suicide, and these fuckers just kept walking. You know, they're looking over their shoulder like, man, that's odd. And they just keep going. And she's right. Who in their right mind, especially if you work for the prison? I mean, let's take away the human factor and then if they like this guy or not. But, like, you see him and you're like, holy shit, someone's hanging themselves in the jail here. Well, I got to do something. I work here. I mean, they may close the place down. I'm thinking, if you want to get real selfish, think about your own job if you're not thinking about the guy. But he's hanging there, and these people are just pretending like they don't see him.
I mean, you can describe what happened with Nicholas, but until you see it and really understand what happened in that eight.
Yeah, because they got it blocked out in the video, but all they got blocked out is the body hanging at the top of the cell. You see everything else. You see all these motherfuckers walking past. One of them even opened the door. Listen.
For nearly 8 minutes, jail staff ignored the prisoner as he lost oxygen. First, this correction officer cracks open the cell door.
Yeah.
He looks in, looks back at the officer station, but he ultimately opts to close the door and walk away.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
Well, what kind of a fucking corrections officer? I mean, Jesus Christ, this is one of the most serious things that can happen in a prison besides a riot. You know, an inmate killing himself because you know you're going to ultimately be held responsible, especially even if it's not, even if he's just going to the bathroom or whatever, not even his station, his section, his wing, whatever. If you see that and you're a corrections officer, and I mean, what, he started to go to help him? And he's like, nah, you know what, I better not help this guy. And he just pretended like it wasn't happening, shut the door and fucking walked away. I do not understand this.
It's a disregard for his basic human dignity.
Around this time, the inmate who'd been beaten up in that fight is wheeled in on a gurney between.
Yeah, yeah. And he sees him there. He sees him. And there's FDNY and paramedics in there. And this guy starts yelling, hey, man, my buddy's there fucking hanging. What am I in, Bizarro World? Does anybody not fucking see this? And nobody's doing anything.
Medics and jail staff, there is now a crowd of officers at the station. They're just steps away from a man hanging motionless in his cell.
Yeah, and they're all focused on the guy on the gurney. And nobody is paying it that they all see him. They're all looking. You got to watch this video. They all look at him and nobody does anything.
And people are starting to turn their heads.
Yeah.
The injured prisoner told the Board of Correction he yelled at the guards to help, but no one did. After three and a half minutes go by, another guard passes Feliciano's cell. A minute and a half later, another appears to look in. After another minute, that same guard and another CO walk by, but they do nothing. Then one of them walks by again, looking over his shoulder, but keeps going. Finally, the...
What? Okay, I can see one guy being an idiot. What is with all of these guys? I mean, is this common or something? Because you almost have to sit there and think, well, this is commonplace the way they're fucking reacting or not reacting. This guy is hanging there. I don't get it.
Intake captain and another CO decide to enter, and they take action. They
open the door
and cut Nicholas Feliciano down.
Congratulations, man, after all that time.
He had been hanging for 7 minutes and 51 seconds.
Oh, come on!
7 minutes and 51 seconds in a jail with an unobstructed view to an officer's station with multiple corrections officers, police, inmates, and medics all seeing this. And that's how long it took. That's how long it took. Well, like I said, the court cases aren't over yet, but I think they had to settle with this family for $29 million. There's $29 million from New York that has to go to the family. I mean, you talk about wasting resources and to defund the police. They're defunding themselves with this shit.
The reason we released this video is we want to shock people out of the lanes and their calcified thinking about Rikers Island.
For putting people in a place that everybody knows is a substandard, unconstitutional hellhole.
The place.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing like there was an episode on Cops, I think it was, and this chick got arrested for prostitution or whatever, and the guy, she's like, "Well, are you just gonna take me and process me and let me go?" And the cop's like, "No, no, you're going to Rikers. You're going to Rikers." And the chick is like, "No!" And she fucking just broke down in the back seat, like she was going into hell. I mean, I know jail's not supposed to be a pleasant place, but Jesus Christ, this is way beyond the pale here.
This is inhumane.
Jail staff later told investigators they thought Feliciano was faking. After they realized,
how on earth would he be faking? What did he do? He took a hook and he hooked it to what, his jumpsuit or whatever. But still, even if you think he's faking, you make sure. And none of these fuckers thought he was faking. Nobody walked by and was like, "Bah," you know, and dismissed him or started laughing or anything. They looked, and they were like, "What the fuck is going on here? I'm just going to go about my day." And that's what happened. Thought he was faking my ass. Even if he is faking, you go in there and you get him down and then you punish him for faking it. But just in case, you know, he's actually killing himself like he was trying to do here. You dumb motherfuckers. You don't just ignore it.
He wasn't. They furiously tried to revive him and sent him to the hospital. But he suffered enough brain damage to leave him permanently disabled.
Oh, yeah. This guy's got to learn how to walk, talk, feed himself again. This is... I don't know. He's, like I said, he had a history of this shit and suicidal tendencies and stuff. And that's another reason why would you think he was faking when he has a history of this shit? But this... this is a fate worse than death. I mean, he's been reduced to pretty much a baby.
The Bronx DA filed criminal charges against four of the jail staff members accused of ignoring Nicholas Feliciano. Two of them, correction officers Mark Wilson and Daniel Fullerton, have pleaded guilty to misdemeanors.
Misdemeanors?
What the fuck?
How is that not just felony neglect? Right there. And why weren't all of the officers charged? Why just four? Everyone who saw the guy hanging there and did nothing should be charged.
The other two, CO Kenneth Hood and Captain Terry Henry, have pleaded not guilty. An attorney for Captain Henry said his client actually saved Feliciano's life by ultimately cutting him down. He said it was the lower-ranked officers who should not have waited some 7 minutes before alerting their captain.
Actually, I agree with him there. I mean, once the captain fucking was alerted to the situation, he took another guy, went down there, opened the door, got him down. So, yeah, maybe those two, but definitely the other two. And like I said, all the rest of the people who just walked by and ignored this should be charged.
The other COs seen on these recordings did not immediately respond to the I-Team's request for comment. The Department of Corrections said 9 staff members were fired, suspended, charged with violations, or resigned. A DOC spokesperson,
slap on the wrist for someone losing their life in your care.
And since the attempted suicide, there have been physical improvements to prevent hangings, and the department increased training related to mental illness.
Of course, after the fact, clean up. No more prevention anymore, folks. Just clean up. Deal with the mess.
The Department of Justice has asked a federal judge to order Rikers Island into receivership, thereby taking control of the nation's largest municipal jail.
Good.
The judge will make a decision on that in the coming months. Chris Glorioso, News 4, New York.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the judge will not do that because, I don't know, seemingly judges have lost their minds all across this country. That's another thing that these police officers must just hate. They sit there and they risk their lives and they bring these fuckers in just for them to be let go or given light sentences to reoffend and reoffend and reoffend. It's got to be frustrating, you know. I've got a newfound respect for... police, folks, and it's all because of these body cam videos. If I hadn't seen these, I had no idea the interactions that they were going through on a seemingly hourly basis. It's unbelievable. And, you know, race had nothing to do with this because more than a couple of them were black in there. So the first guy who opened the door and left, he was black. So I don't want to hear the race card. And plus, the guy was Hispanic. And so anyway, I can't make heads or tails out of that one, man. I don't know how anybody didn't react sooner than that. All right, well, people who did react to something wrong in Enid, Oklahoma, I guess there's a city council member who was one of those assholes that fucking marched in Charlotte with the tiki torches talking about Jews will not replace us and all that shit. Well, he's been replaced.
On a blustery morning in Enid, Oklahoma, voters headed to the polls, there to answer a question that for months divided their city. Should Republican City Council member Judd Blevins be removed from office over his white nationalist ties?
Did you say his first name was Judd? Well, that figures.
Voting against Judd Blevins.
I voted for Judd Blevins. I believe that he's the man for the hour.
He's the man for the hour. He hates all them niggers and the Jews, the kikes, you know, to take over everything, all the money.
These motherfuckers make me sick.
Blevins, seen here campaigning during yesterday's recall vote, has said he never identified as a white nationalist or white supremacist.
Oh, yeah, but he's marching in Charlottesville with a torch in his hand. Blood and soil. Right? Jews will not replace. Not a white nationalist, though.
But activists in Enid who initiated the recall race took issue with his participation in the deadly 2017 Charlottesville Unite the Right rally and his past role with a state chapter of a white nationalist organization.
Oh, but he's not a white nationalist.
You white trash piece of shit.
Yeah, that's a jar.
Blevins refused to talk about his past when we approached him last month.
Why? Aren't you proud of it? Why hide? You know, why do they hide their faces? Why do they hide? Why do they refuse to talk about this shit? You know, why does Marjorie Taylor Greene refuse to talk about Jewish space lasers? Why does that other chick refuse to talk about when she said she wanted Obama executed? What are you hiding from? These are your feelings, right? This is how you feel? So, what are you hiding from?
Why did you march and unite the right? Why did you hold a tiki torch and march as people say? Jews will not replace
him. Yeah. Why'd you do that? He should answer proudly.
For this at a candidate forum ahead of the election.
What were you trying to achieve, or what was your purpose in those?
Bringing attention to the same issues that got Donald Trump elected in 2016, securing America's borders.
Oh, so he's going to say, see, I'm just like Trump. They all put their eggs in the Trump basket.
Reforming our legal immigration system. And frankly, pushing back on this anti-white hatred that is so common in media and entertainment.
Ah, I see. And what does that have to do with saying Jews will not replace us or blood and soil? Because that means, number one, it's anti-Semitic. And number two, it means you have a propensity for violence, right? If it comes down to it. So, I don't know.
Last night, according to preliminary votes, Blevins lost his seat by 268 votes to Republican Cheryl Patterson. One of those votes coming from Connie Vickers.
You done lost to a bitch, boy.
For a year, Vickers and her friend, Nancy Presnell, had been a part of the Enid Social Justice Committee, drawing attention to Blevins, often carrying this poster, showing him holding a tiki torch in Charlottesville before the rally.
And he's been there for months. You know, he got elected and everything. These people are everywhere now. These fucking nut jobs are everywhere now. They have infiltrated all levels, from president to Supreme Court to the regular judiciary to cops to fucking librarians to goddamn everybody.
They gathered together last night as the election results came in.
How are you feeling?
Elated, happy, relieved.
Even though we're a red city, a red state, people still don't think that Nazis should be allowed to be in.
Oh, plenty of people do, dear.
Making decisions.
In a statement, Blevins called the race a trial not just for me, but for many in this community.
Yes, it's not about me. It's about all of you. You know, I'm not the racist piece of shit walking around chanting with a tiki torch like a fucking idiot. I'm doing this. I did that, but it's for all of you. And if, you know, they can bust me for that, they can bust you for anything. No, if they don't go do that, they won't fucking suffer either, idiot.
But for many in the community, the results, a relief.
I was very proud of the city of Enid tonight.
Even with Blevins defeated, though, some see more work ahead.
Yeah.
The people who recruited him and supported him and paid for him are still there, and they're not going to give up.
Uh-huh.
Brandi Zadrozny, NBC News, Enid, Oklahoma.
And she's right, because they will never give up. You know, long after Trump is gone, he has laid the groundwork, okay? So now these people are just going to come out of the woodwork from everywhere, you know. And whoever doesn't go along with this crazy-ass radical ideology will be purged. And that's all there is to it. It's happening. I mean, hey, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy like Lindsey Graham, that rubber man redneck. But, you know, at least he still had a little bit of the, I don't know, the old school Republicans. I have a newfound respect for them too, because as much as I thought they were assholes, I'm like, oh my God, they're nothing compared to these MAGA fucking assholes. I mean, they're the dumbest of the goddamn dumb, craziest of the crazy. I don't know. They are so hypocritical. Here, let's go to Tennessee here and talk about this. I found an excellent article in the Tennessean about what it's basically saying is that in Tennessee, you know, this all this parental stuff, you know, parental consent, and it's up to the parents and everything when it comes to banning books and a curriculum and all that shit. And there's always a small fringe group of crazies that, you know, just put up ridiculous examples like To Kill a Mockingbird or shit like that. But when it comes to like this whole Olivia's bill, where they're going to make it mandatory to show the development of a fetus to all the students, as well as give them gun safety training. Now, a lot of people, a lot of liberals in the school district, the parents said, hey, we should be able to opt in or out of these two deals here. And the state said, nope, mandatory. So whenever it's something they don't like, then it's up to the parents. Whenever it's something that they and all their crazy constituent right-wing parents like, then it's not up to the liberal parents have no say, which is a complete fucking horseshit. Let's see, it's by, what's his name, David Plazas. It says, Tennessee's Republican-dominated General Assembly is all for parental consent until it isn't. A whole array of parental rights legislation has passed over the years, including allowing adults to exempt their children from public school lessons on LGBTQ people, requesting the library books be banned, and allowing foster parents not to vaccinate the children under their care. Now, as far as the sexuality, I understand. I mean, you can't introduce sexuality of any kind, I don't think, to kids until they're like in about an eighth grade. Because once they get to high school, then they're, you know, they're sexually mature. But yeah, so that, but you know, all the other stuff, first of all, it's discrimination. You know, it's discrimination wrapped up in concern. They just don't like the whole gay thing, and they don't want it to, even all the way to graduating high school, they don't want it discussed. So that's one aspect. Now, as far as these two things, the video and the gun safety, it says amendments to require parental consent filed by Democrats were rejected in both cases. He goes on to say, I'm all for kids being exposed to different concepts and ideas, but the problem with these efforts, to use an overly used term these days, is this is classic indoctrination. See, they don't care about indoctrination when it's what they want their kids to believe, like, I don't know, religion. He says, as far as the baby Olivia video, this is not a science video, it's a political message. But what if the child's parent wasn't ready to talk fetal development? What if they had a different viewpoint on when life is conceived and on a woman's reproductive rights? One thing viewers will find missing from the video is the reality of how babies are made. By taking away this choice, lawmakers are saying the government is the answer or is the paragon of virtue, which is antithetical to their philosophy on most other things. In other words, hypocrisy inc. as usual. If elected officials truly value the rights of parents, as the GOP majority says it does, this is an area where intellectual honesty requires some level of consistency. Yeah, well, good luck with that, especially from those stupid fucking bigoted rednecks. And speaking of stupid bigoted rednecks, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, oh my God, and the, you know, the religious shit thrown in. This whole eclipse thing, the coverage it got, I couldn't watch any news that day. It was all eclipse. It was like it was the fucking Super Bowl. I'm like, okay, it's an eclipse. It doesn't happen that often. It ain't that big a deal. The fucking moon is in front of the sun for 4 minutes, okay? And it's hilarious to me that, you know, Fox News, they're trying to tie that into the border again with the bridge disaster, border, the eclipse, the border. You know, they're out of their minds. But nobody is out of their mind as much as Taylor Greene. She tweeted or whatever, excreted,
God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens.
Dumb cunt.
Yeah, you can say that again. And then later, after getting a whole bunch of backlash, because this is crazy shit,
many have mocked and scoffed at this point and even put out community notes. Jesus talked about that in Luke 12:54-56. Yes, eclipses are predictable and earthquakes happen, and we know when comets are passing by. However, God created all these things and uses them to be signs for those of us who believe.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
And that's because she's one of the most insanely idiotic human beings to ever walk the earth. And she's in one of our 535 members of Congress has stood at the gavel and held the speaker's gavel talking about decorum, you know, when she's not talking about Jewish space lasers and all that crap. She's crazy, okay? This religious people, no wonder Trump has a cult. They're used to being cultists because religion is a cult. It is. And I've gotten shit for this from my mom, my sister, my aunts and uncles over the years. Some of them, but it is. It's total indoctrination. It's a fucking cult. Without any evidence, you just believe everything that one person or one ideology has to say. And to suggest that the weather, you know, the weather is God's wrath is about the dumbest fucking thing I've ever heard. And especially an eclipse. Yeah, I'm God. How am I going to punish these motherfuckers, huh? Let's give them 4 minutes of shadows. That'll show them. What the fuck is it? Earthquakes. Right. Tectonic plate shifts that take hundreds of thousands of years are because of God. It's a slow-moving coup, I guess, according to this fucking moron. But what you get happening here is because she's so high profile and so fucking dumb that in her own state, you get shit like this.
A Georgia woman is behind bars after going on a shooting spree on I-10. According to the Florida Highway Patrol, a 22-year-old woman told hotel workers in Holmes County that she had been directed by God to go on a shooting spree about the solar eclipse, and that not long after she left the hotel in a purple Dodge Challenger driving to the interstate, traveling west, shooting into two cars. One of the drivers was shot in the neck, the other grazed in his arm. Taylon Nichelle Celestine is charged with attempted murder, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and improper discharge of a firearm.
Okay, now you tell me, what is the difference between this dumb bitch and Marjorie Taylor Greene as far as thinking? I know, Taylor Trash Greene hasn't shot anybody, all right, but this is part of the responsibility that comes with that station in life, all right? You say things like that. People react. That's what they don't understand about Trump either. All the hints he gives and all the statements he makes, it gives these people license to do this shit. So it is not a far leap from Marjorie Trailer Trash Green to this crazy cunt who goes around shooting people because she thinks it's God's wrath. Trailer Green said that Nancy Pelosi should be executed because she was a traitor. Again, Not a far cry, not a big difference. And, you know, one's going to jail for a long time, and the other one runs things in a district in Georgia and potentially is going to oust the next Speaker of the House while legislating nothing, while not knowing how to govern or do anything. She just knows how to pick fights and take people down, I guess, and keep her name in the press and everything like that. She is a complete waste of space. This Congress is the lowest rated ever, and it's because of mindsets like this. If you can even fucking call them that.
During a search of her car, troopers say they found an AR-15 and a 9mm handgun. Celestine was booked into the Holmes County Jail.
Good. I hope somebody fucking kills you in there, you nut job. Ugh, religious nut jobs, they make me sick. I mean, can you imagine being the victim? I got shot in the neck because of what? Because some crazy cunt believed that an eclipse was God's wrath, so she should shoot me on the fucking highway in Georgia? What the fuck? Where are we? What the hell is going on here? I'd just be like, I don't know what I'd do. But I don't know. Those dumb fucking backwoods jerkwater fucking redneck hillbillies elect her. They think she's smart. Gonna stand up to the deep state, y'all, and all that shit. But these puritanical, stupid-ass fucking views aren't, relegated to the South. That's where they're strongest. But Arizona, oh, boy. I tell you, talk about giving Democrats a fucking huge gift.
Tonight, Arizona's highest court upholding a 160-year-old abortion ban, one of the strictest in the country. A law written in 1864, before Arizona was even a state.
Are you kidding?
What the hell is going on around here?
That's what they know. 1864. This is the law that should be the law of the land today. You know, those dumb fucking Arizona, the rednecks of the West. Unbelievable.
Before women had the right to vote, it outlaws nearly all abortions. The only exception, to protect the life of the mother. Mm-hmm. Tonight, outrage.
Yeah, and I'm sure if one of these Republican or Supreme Court justices or Republicans in Arizona and their daughter, if their daughter was raped, especially by a black guy, you know, they'd be lined up to get an abortion. They'd be the first in line. They'd make sure they were first. And they'd do it because they've done that in the past.
From Arizona's Democratic Governor Katie Hobbs.
And the near total Civil War era ban that continues to hang over our heads only serves to create more chaos for women and doctors.
Just imagine a Civil War era ban. Civil War.
Doctors in our state.
Under the law, doctors who perform abortions could face up to 5 years in prison.
Oh, my God.
Where are you guys dumb? You guys are so dumb.
Yeah, you're not going to have any more fucking doctors, OBGYNs, pediatricians. None of them are going to want to be there anymore. You know, be careful what you wish for, huh? This whole Roe versus Wade, it's the only thing that's keeping Biden even, I think, competitive. You know, I think he's still going to lose, but it's really one of the only things that keeps him competitive. But more importantly, it is keeping everything competitive down the ballot, because, you know, if Biden loses, and I think he's gonna, gotta control the Senate and the House. It's the only way you're gonna even try to keep Trump in any kind of check.
Frustration from Arizona lawmaker Eva Birch, who recently had an abortion after her pregnancy failed.
A couple weeks ago, I had an abortion, a safe, legal abortion here in Arizona.
See, and these people, these radicals, never think about women like this. All they think about is they think about poor people having abortions, you know, as a form of birth control or whatever. Just irresponsible people. But it's not just them who go through this shit. You got to consider everybody when you're a leader.
For a pregnancy that I very much wanted, somebody took care of me. Somebody gave me a procedure so that I wouldn't have to experience another miscarriage. The pain, the mess, the discomfort. And now we're talking about whether or not we should put that doctor in jail.
In today's ruling, the Arizona court referring...
Yeah, hey, listen, let's give her a round. Because her doctor helped her through all that. And she's thinking of her doctor and how much he or she helped her. And now they are talking about putting doctors like that in jail. It's ridiculous.
22 times to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe versus Wade. Donald Trump has boasted of appointing 3 of the 6 justices who overturned Roe. Yesterday, he said states should make their own laws when it comes to abortion.
Oh, really? Well, that means that you're then in favor of things like this. If states should make their own, I mean, okay. At least he's being consistent, though, with the Republican rhetoric over the last 30 years. They always clamor for states' rights until it's something they don't want. Then they want, now they want a national ban. States' rights, states' rights, states' rights. Since 1973, and now, no, we want to do what you did with a national ban, even though we bitched about it because it should have been sent back to the states. But now we want what you had. So hypocritical as fuck.
States will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both. And whatever they decide must be the law of the land. In this case, the law of the state.
Yeah, see, so when people go crazy like this, then... you know, by proxy, Trump condones it. He's saying it should be to the states. I don't know. I mean, to tell you the truth, I wouldn't be that upset about a 15-week abortion ban. 99% of abortions happen before 21 weeks. Okay. And then if it's after 15 weeks, then yes, rape, incest, the health of the mother, short-term, long-term, everything, you know, should be considered. But I wouldn't be that upset with 15 weeks. But when you leave it up to the states like this, you know, then some of them go crazy.
President Biden says that means that Trump supports state bans like the one in Arizona, which Biden today called extreme, dangerous, and cruel. Biden and Trump both know that abortion rights has won in all 6 states where it has been on the ballot, including in conservative states like Kansas, Kentucky, and Ohio.
When are these fuckers going to learn about this issue? And, you know, if I was a Republican in Arizona or anywhere, and all these decisions and everything, and with Trump saying this, leave it up to the states. You know, they got to be saying to him.
Hey, maybe you haven't been keeping up on current events, but we just got our asses kicked, pal.
Yeah, six times. You know, all six fucking times, but it don't matter. You know, Trump has always been pro-choice. He always has been. Oh, up until the 2011, he was fucking pro-choice. So whatever. Fucking con artist. All he cares about is himself. So you can pretty much remove him out of the equation. But everybody else should have learned by now. You know, be careful what you wish for, because now you can't run on it and you're losing on it.
This November, voters could decide in 14 states, and one of them is Arizona, a key presidential battleground. Tonight, the governor with this message.
To the people across Arizona who are concerned about the future of abortion rights in our state, you can make your concerns known at the ballot box, and I encourage you to do so.
Yeah, and that's the only way you're going to do it. So get your asses in gear. And, you know, it's funny about this law, that stupid bitch Carrie Lake, one of the phoniest, dumbest fucks in Arizona's history, 30 years on the air as an anchor, too. Boy, I bet all those people that watched her never knew what lied beneath. But she was totally in favor of this a couple of years ago because she's a radical dipshit, too. Election denier, you know, wants Trump to fuck her in her ass and everything like that. He can do no wrong. And she's tried to be the female Trump, but she totally supported this a couple of years ago, and now she says she doesn't support it. Gee, what a shock.
There is no clearer example of how toxic this issue is and this ruling is for Republicans, particularly within the state of Arizona, than Carrie Lake. The Arizona Republican Senate candidate yesterday came out strongly against Arizona's Supreme Court ruling. Wow. She wrote in part, "I am the only woman and mother in this race. I understand the fear and anxiety of pregnancy and the joy of motherhood. I oppose today's ruling, and I'm calling on Katie Hobbs and the state legislature to come up with an immediate common sense solution that Arizonans can support."
liar whore, and you know it.
Yeah, because a couple of years ago, here's what you said.
Well, that is not what Carrie Lake was saying just 2 years ago when she was running for governor, promising to support whatever the state Supreme Court decided.
I don't believe in abortion. I think the older law is going to go into effect. That's what I believe will happen. I don't think abortion pills should be legal.
We have a great law on the books right now. If that happens, we will be a state where we will not be taking the lives of our unborn anymore.
I'm incredibly thrilled that we are going to have a great law that's already on the books.
Incredibly thrilled 2 years ago, and now she is just vehemently against it. Gee. How can anyone not see through this humongous pile of horseshit?
It will prohibit abortion in Arizona, and I think we're going to be paving the way and setting course for other states to follow.
Because your whole party's running from it, running from the whole issue that they wanted to come to fruition is fucking hilarious.
New developments in the defamation lawsuit against Carrie Lake.
Oh, yeah. Now, the defamation lawsuit where, you know, she said that the head of elections of Arizona, you know, she accused him of wrongdoing all over the place. You know, fraud, basically. And he sued her. And, you know, this staunch advocate of it being a stolen election, she had the mini version of Trump. She said it was stolen from her in Arizona and had all these, I don't know, 30,000 of these people didn't vote and these dead people would have. All of it debunked, none of it, no evidence to any of it, just like with Trump on a national level. But she was being sued by this guy, and she settled, pretty much conceding that she fucking defamed him.
The U.S. Senate candidate deciding not to defend her statements accusing Maricopa County Recorder Stephen Richer of election fraud. Now, instead, attorneys for Lake asked the judge to set a hearing to ultimately determine what damages are owed to Richard.
Why would you pay him damages if he committed fraud, huh? Well, what's the matter?
The legal drama ending in a default judgment, which essentially means that Lake is conceding legal liability for defamation and will now focus on the hearing, which legal experts say could take months, depending on when a date is set.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Fuck you, whore.
Yeah, you are a complete fucking phony. A complete phony and a complete con artist, just like her idol, Trump. You're going to see this in the coming years, folks. Whether he's there or he's gone, they're all going to try and emulate him. There's going to be a faction of these motherfuckers that will never go away. You know, the Trailer Greens, the Matt Gaetzes, this bitch, they're all going to try and emulate him and hope they can hit the bullseye like he has with the dumb fucks of America or their states or their districts or whatever the case may be. Why they try obvious bullshit like the Robert Kennedy fucking running for president. I'll tell you, JFK, John F. Kennedy, and Robert Kennedy were two of the smartest motherfuckers in politics in American history. Okay, the brothers. They were on top of their game. And they had two of the dumbest fucking sons to ever to fucking grace our nation. You know, JFK Jr. would have taken three times to pass the bar or something like that. So stupid, he fucked up in the plane and killed his girlfriend and her mother. You know, RFK, anti-vaxxer. Biden is more of a threat to democracy than Trump is. You know. Just a stupid asshole. I mean, he's been a stupid conspiracy theorist pretty much his whole life. You talk about the apples just being, I don't know, launched away from the fucking trees. These two, what a disappointment. But, you know, it's funny. You know, RFK wanted to run. Obviously, now it's become completely obvious, as we're going to get into this clip here, that he just wanted to tank Biden. You know, he wanted to take votes from Biden. But with all his conspiracy theorist bullshit, they realize he's taking votes from Trump, too. So then they have to go out and say, hey, listen, everybody. The common enemy here is Biden. You know, don't vote for me if you're going to vote for Trump. Go ahead and vote for Trump. Our goal is to beat Biden, which is very evident by this stupid bitch, Rita Palma, who has now been fired by the RFK campaign for saying out loud what they believe.
If you want to help Trump, go to Pennsylvania, knock on doors. I did that in 16 and 20. Yeah. Not because Pennsylvania is a battleground state. That's where the election is going to be lost or won, is in Pennsylvania. That's where it's all going to be decided.
How the fuck do you know that? I mean, what if Biden wins Florida or Texas or something? Shut up.
I'm recommending that just because Trump is a lost cause in New York, in my humble view. But if you want to help him win the election, or if, you know, you support him as a candidate.
Now, this is an advisor to someone who is also running for president. Okay. If you want to help Trump, she's talking about. Not to help RFK. How to help Trump.
Hook up with the campaign, or there's a bunch of organizations that invade Pennsylvania 2 weeks before the election and hang door knockers or put things under doormats or whatever, you know. So I did it with a friend of mine. We went to Pennsylvania both elections to try to sway the election in Pennsylvania, two elections. So there's no Biden voters in the House, right? Okay, good. Things, I guess, will change over time because you do have to only pick one candidate at the end of the day. But the Kennedy voter and the Trump voter, the enemy, our mutual enemy is Biden.
Shut that cunt's mouth or I'll come over there and fuck start her head.
Yeah, somebody should have said that to her. Maybe she'd still have a job.
Biden is counting on us with Bobby in the mix. My thought is for the Republicans. See, Bobby right now, he's pulling from both sides. Right now, he's actually...
and that wasn't the plan.
...pulling a little bit more from Biden, which explains why the DNC is kind of ganging up on him. They have a special committee to go after independent candidates.
Now, they're ganging up on him because he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah, they say independent candidates, like non-affiliated candidates, they really mean Bobby. Because Bobby's the only third party that anybody's taking seriously. So they developed...
Taking seriously? His polling numbers are for shit.
...developed a committee just to go after him.
And by the way, that Cornell West is a fucking moron, too. Another guy who claims to be a liberal trying to take votes away from Biden.
Get him off of the ballot in any way they can. Especially, it seems as though they're going after the battleground states more than the deep blue states. Bobby's moving the blues on his own. If the Republicans...
He's moving the nuts on his own.
...has accepted the fact that New York, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, California... New Jersey, Connecticut, most of the Northeast is going to go blue. Why wouldn't we put our vote to Bobby
right,
and at least get rid of Biden and get those 28 electoral votes in New York? Give those 28 electoral votes to Bobby rather than to Biden, thereby reducing Biden's 270. And we all know how that works, right? 270 wins the election. If you don't get to 270, if nobody gets to 270, then Congress picks the president. So who are they going to pick? Who are they going to pick if it's a Republican Congress? They'll pick Trump. So we're rid of Biden either way.
God. I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Yeah, that's the same kind of scheme they tried last time. When the whole thing with Pence and everything, if he wouldn't have certified, they wanted to go to Congress. As long as they have more states than the Congress, just 26 fucking right-wing assholes can pick the president. Bullshit. The Electoral College is horseshit. All right, totally antiquated. There is no way that 600,000 people in South Dakota should have the same influence as 39 million in California. That's fucking ridiculous. Like I said, RFK has got to be turning over in his fucking grave, just like JFK did. But at least JFK's son, you know, was just a fool. Didn't really impact anything. This motherfucker is going to take votes away from Biden. He was considering Aaron fucking Rodgers as his vice president at one point.
Hey, you want to get nuts? Come on. Let's get nuts.
Yeah, because everybody knows that, you know, a football player who's always wanted to be a celebrity and is pretty much a star fucker, and he's anti-vax, so he'd make a good vice president. The fucking RFK Jr. is the dumbest fuck alive. I don't give a fuck. All right, a little sports to wrap up, because there's not too much entertainment news this week. They said for the first time, the women's national championship in basketball had more viewers than the men. Hey, gotta give them a round for that. You know, it's pretty much all due to Caitlin Clark. I mean, if it wasn't for her, I don't think the hype would be as big. But I'll tell you what, man, that chick. I watched the first part of it, then I fell asleep, then I watched the end. But in that first quarter, when Iowa went up like 10-0, she fucking made a three-pointer like 10 feet behind the fucking three-point line. I mean, this is to make Steph Curry proud. Even the announcer is like, from the future, Caitlin Clark hits the three. And it's impressive because those chicks have to shoot from the chest, all right? See, they don't have the upper body strength like the men do, so they can't, like, make classic jump shots from back there. Even from back there, the guys have to use their chest a little. But that's how this chick is used to shooting anyway, even up on the three-point line is from the chest. And I'll tell you, you know, it doesn't matter who you're playing against and the physicalities and all the depth of talent, which the women don't have like the men. A lot of times they look like chickens running around with their heads cut off. I don't know. I think my high school team could beat a lot of these chicks teams. But that doesn't matter when it comes to nailing three-pointers from way the fuck out there. I mean, you cannot take that away from her. She's got that shit down. I mean, it's pretty fucking impressive for a woman. It would be pretty impressive for a man. Because, like I said, it's Steph Curry range. I mean, everybody's impressed by Steph Curry, right? Well, she's hitting them from the same range. Amazing. But they couldn't overtake South Carolina on that Cardoso chick, 6'7", with all that red hair flying around. It gets in your face, too. She pretty much just camps out and takes over underneath. Runs very strange. He's got that big-ass fucking stride. But, I was entertained by it. Didn't watch the men's championship. I don't even really watch basketball. I just wanted to see Caitlin Clark nail a bunch of threes. And, you know, a bunch of times she goes, like, 9 for 20, you know, 10 for 20. You know, folks, I could hit fucking 10 out of 20 three-pointers. I mean, maybe not in a game situation and all that pressure, but if I was just taking shots, you know, so the percentage sometimes, I saw that on CNN. Just amazing that she hit 9 three-pointers. Yeah, well, it is, but she took 20 off them. So, you know, I don't know. But she's still phenomenal, great player. Probably the best college, I mean, especially shooting threes, best college basketball women's player I've ever seen. Oh, and congratulations to King LeBron James, the king of the floppers, is about all he's king of because, they made a big fucking thing. He beat Michael Jordan's record of 30-point games. He now has 672 30-point games where Jordan had 671. But, gee, it only took him 400 and something more games to fucking do it.
fucking A.
Yeah, 400 more games. Plus, he came into the NBA straight out of high school. Jordan spent 3 years in college, retired for 2 years during the Bulls' massive run, or else they would have had 8 in a row because his father was fucking murdered. You know, Jordan never texted people to go, everybody come to the Bulls or we'll all go to a different team. And as soon as it's not looking like we're going to win, I'm going to go somewhere else. No, he built that shit and he inspired people to come play for him and everything. The opposite of flopping James. I mean, I'll give him credit. He played at a high level for 20 years and that takes something. Okay. But he is not the GOAT. Jordan is the GOAT and always will be. Well, at least as LeBron is concerned, you know. Now he wants his son, you know. His son's not going to go to any NBA team, he says, unless he can be the leader of that team and everything. That kid isn't even close to fucking LeBron. So I don't know. The ego in that guy just... It knows no bounds. I believe I'm the greatest player to ever play this game. And no, Jordan doesn't say that. And because Jordan says, look, you can't compare me to people in different eras. There were different rules. I mean, shit, they can take 4 steps now to make shots. Nobody can even breathe on them without getting a foul. Jordan used to get knocked to the fucking ground by the bad boys in Detroit, those dirty assholes, and everybody else, the hand-checking. Plus, Jordan was an all-defensive player almost every year. I watched a Jordan highlight reel last night. LeBron never made anywhere close to the moves Jordan has made, okay? He makes more three-pointers, I'll give him that, you know, but not even close to under-the-basket moves with fucking guys up in his face. Plus, he's 4 inches taller than fucking Jordan, so, but it's no contest. Kobe Bryant was better than fucking LeBron James, okay? I mean... So he doesn't even belong in the GOAT conversation as far as I'm concerned. And the Masters starts today. Boy, do I love watching the Masters. That golf course is just, that's heaven on earth as far as golf courses. I mean, that place is so immaculate every year. And, you know, I wish I could still play my 2012 fucking Tiger Woods Masters edition on the old Xbox, because playing that course, even on a video game, was special. It was exact. You know, I mean, everything happened exactly the way it happened. I used to love that fucking game, man. I'd play it all the time. But I don't know. Tiger Woods, I don't think he's going to do shit. And, you know, the thing about the Masters is you can be in the lead for so long and then just fall apart at the end. And someone comes out of nowhere like Schwartzel did that 1 year. But, yeah, I love watching that shit. But it looks like it's raining. So we'll see what happens there. I just hope it's a good tournament, you know, when it's close. The only time I didn't want it close is when, you know, Tiger just doing the unthinkable and winning by, like, what, 15 strokes or something like that? Fucking amazing. I mean, Jack is still the best because of records, but Tiger just did special things during from 99 to 2005. It was just unreal. I'm going to try and play 9 holes this year. I know I can't make 18 anymore with my back and my ankle. I'm not even sure I can make 9. God, I did some yard work the other day that would have taken me a half hour, you know, 20 years ago. And it took me like 2 hours with all the breaks. I'm fucking massively sore the next day, you know, so I don't even know if I could ever play golf again, which would really suck. I got to at least try. I got to... You know, just know that I'm going out, you know, I just love that game and have played so much golf in my life that I've got to attempt to finish no matter how ugly it is. God damn it. Toughest sport on earth. And that's because the mental aspect trumps any physical capabilities you may have most of the time. So there you go. And oh, look at this. Right as I'm about to sign off, O.J. Simpson has died. Yeah, you fucking murdering bastard. Biggest control freak ever. Yeah. Remember when he was gonna find the real killer, huh? Nicole's real killer. He must have thought he was on a fairway somewhere, because that's all he did was fucking play golf afterwards. And, you know, I love that all the black people, you know, they struck a blow to the white man for all the injustices. Well, okay, I appreciate that. But that doesn't do Nicole Simpson or Ronald Goldman any fucking good. Turned her into a goddamn Pez dispenser. He stabbed her so many times. And that poor fucking guy, you know, like I said, narcissistic control freak fucking OJ writes a book, If I Did It. Stupidest fuck ever. And then after getting away with that,
He decides he's going to kidnap some people in a hotel room because they were selling his sports memorabilia or whatever. Have his thugs hold him at gunpoint, goes to jail again. Or actually, the only time he went to fucking jail. But OJ, it's hilarious. All the black people rallied around OJ when all OJ ever wanted to be was white. I mean, everybody, all of his friends, everything he did was to please white people. I mean, to a really high degree. Okay, I mean, in this guy, it was just not like black at all. You know what I mean? He's a white guy in a black body. And when before they went through his house and everything, they redecorated to put all this African stuff up there when it wasn't like that. You know, the guy was Uncle Tom, I believe they call it. And hey, you know, I got no problem with that. I mean, fine, ex-civilized and everything. Don't act like a ghetto thug. But it just surprises me that the ghetto thugs are the ones who fucking supported him the most staunchly. But, I know he obviously killed her, and that's why they attacked the police department. You know, Furman, fucking idiot. So many things had to fall into place for that asshole to get off. You know, they find a cop who's on tape saying nigger over and over again, even though it was about some transcript or whatever. I mean, procedurally, they fucked up everything, the transferring of the blood, all that. Then they got that mophead fucking Mimbo Cato Kalin on there, hostile witness. Marcia Clark and Chris Darden were just horrible, in that fucking case. I mean, made so many mistakes. And that dickhead Johnny Cochran, very wisely turned it into black people against the LAPD, and it was just... It was a pathetic display from start to finish. So, I'm glad the fucker's dead. I hope it was painful, you know? So, anyway.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, that's right. Bye, Felicia. Asshole.
All right, folks, we've come to the end of it here. Hey, you know what? I mean, I always play, like last week, with the Kurt Cobain, the Nirvana going out, because Cobain died on April 5th. But another, very popular singer, very tragic story, heroin again. Lane Staley from Alice in Chains also died on April 5th, a bunch of years later. But I saw a documentary on him the other night. Oh, my God, he would like lost all his teeth and shit and everything. And one of the things that disgusted me was James Hetfield, because Alice in Chains backed out of a tour with Metallica because he was hooked on heroin, Staley. And James comes out, and they play the beginning of Man in the Box. You know, he goes, in a sarcastic way, like he's done to Dave Mustaine, like they've done to Iron Maiden. And then he starts hitting his vein, on his forearm, making fun of the guy's fucking addiction. You know, I tell you, those guys in Metallica, they really turned out to be assholes. Kirk Hammett's just stupid. But Lars and James are fucking assholes. Plus, fucking Hetfield likes to kill animals for fun. Goes and hunts bears and shit like that. Scumbag. But anyway, I digress. Alice in Chains had a really good sound, and I saw them at the Clash of the Titans concert. It was them, then Anthrax, then Megadeth, then Slayer, and it was one of the best concerts I ever saw. And they really, they really sounded good. I think I only heard half of their set because the first half we were out in the parking lot still tailgating, but this song, again, it's got such a great fucking beat and rhythm to it. And Jerry Cantrell, very talented guitarist, could sing as well, could write as well, went on to do his own shit. And again, I can't believe I've never played an Alice in Chains tune on the way out. So that's what we're doing today. So here's Alice in Chains again, and we'll see you next week, folks. Later.
What the fuck was that you were listening to?